Hello, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk Diaspora Forum. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Kip Stube. Tonight, we are discussing challenges of sustaining injuries or dying at work in the diaspora. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. President Joe Biden's re-election campaign has launched a digital ad aimed at Latino voters, seeking to remind them of former President Donald Trump's controversial zero-tolerance family separation policy at the U.S.-Mexico border. VOA's immigration reporter Eileen Barros has more.
With immigration on voters' minds this presidential election season, the Biden campaign is ramping up efforts to remind them of the Trump administration policies on the issue.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime.
A 50-second ad named Ripped Apart shows images of children crying and followed by some of former President Donald Trump's anti-immigrant comments.
Wants to bring back cruel and inhumane family separation policies that rip children from their parents at the border. Folks, that's not who we are.
The family separation policy announced 6 years ago led to the separation of more than 5,000 children from their parents and other adult relatives. Some were infants. Immigration rights groups sued the Trump administration.
The ACLU brought the family separation lawsuit in the beginning of 2018 when we learned that the Trump administration was engaging in a practice of taking children from their parents.
Under the policy, families were separated and parents criminally prosecuted for crossing the border illegally.
We brought the lawsuit called Miss L v. ICE in the federal court in San Diego, a national class action, and ultimately got an injunction from the court, said the policy was likely unconstitutional, was brutal and unconscionable, and that the Trump administration needed to end the practice immediately and reunify all the children it had taken away and had to help us find all these families.
The lawsuit was settled in 2023. Children and relatives who were separated will receive assistance with health care, housing, and legal needs. They will also have access to a fast asylum process and can receive 3 years of humanitarian parole, allowing them to live in the U.S. legally. Still, nearly 1,000 children have yet to be reunited with their parents and relatives.
And we have been searching for years for all the families that were separated, many of whom are still not found.
In 2018, Trump signed another executive order reversing his administration's family separation policy after a national and international outcry. He has continued to talk tough on border security.
Because we want people to come in, but they have to come in legally.
The Biden administration rolled back Trump's immigration policies, prompting criticism from Republican lawmakers. Berger Learned notes that in December, the court ordered that
for 8 years, no administration may engage in a family separation practice. We would have liked it to have been indefinite.
U.S. border officials can still separate a child from their parents if there is evidence the child is in danger. The separation must be documented. Immigration lawyers must be notified. But if future administrations try to make the separation of families frequent and routine again, immigration lawyers say they're ready to go back to the courts. Aline Barros, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks very much for that story, Eileen. Now, a groundbreaking clinical trial is underway in South Africa, marking a pivotal moment in the fight against tuberculosis. The new vaccine could become the first to help prevent pulmonary TB, the most common form of the disease in adolescents and adults. It will be the first new TB vaccine in more than a century. Zaha Kasim has the story.
Tuberculosis is one of the deadliest diseases globally. It's the main cause of death for people with HIV, virus that causes AIDS. and kills about 1.5 million annually, despite being curable and treatable. Dr. Nimpolelo Mutupa is at the forefront of this battle. She oversees the TB unit at a prominent government hospital in Johannesburg. She confronts the harsh reality that many individuals in South Africa die with TB because they do not receive timely treatment or continue with the prescribed medication. The new N72 vaccine trial offers renewed optimism for curbing the prevalence of TB.
We want to end TB, but we don't have much. Even drugs that are being developed for TB, we've got very few drugs that are developed for TB per period of time. This vaccine is going to help quite a lot.
The vaccine works with people who have latent TB. This is when the infection is in the body, but the individual does not feel sick and cannot spread the disease. TB only becomes active if the immune system weakens, so it is dangerous when immunity is compromised, such as for HIV or AIDS patients. The N72 vaccine trial, headed by the Bill and Melinda Gates Medical Research Institute and the Wellcome Trust, represents a collaborative effort involving up to 20,000 participants. The study includes 60 sites globally, with 32 sites in South Africa.
But there's also an epidemiological benefit as well, because TB is primarily transmitted from individuals who have, in fact, active tuberculosis. So by lessening the overall number of individuals in a population, particularly in a population with a high burden of latent TB who have active tuberculosis, that in turn will prevent the further transmission of the infection to other individuals who are not already infected and prevent them from becoming infected.
Experts agree that the only way to put a dent in TB rates is by creating a vaccine that works for adolescents and adults. Professor Willem Hanekom is director of the Africa Health Research Institute, running vaccine trials in rural KwaZulu-Natal. Preliminary results show that the N72 vaccine offers a great promise with this demographic.
So this is the first vaccine that has shown some efficacy, which means protection against adolescents and adults in early clinical trials. We are pretty confident that is likely to be a positive result, and we base that on the results of the earlier efficacy study, a phase 2b study as we call it, which showed that 50% of people, so one out of two people that receive the vaccine, should be protected against tuberculosis.
A 50% efficacy rate could save 8.5 million lives and prevent 76 million new cases, according to the World Health Organization. Results of the vaccine trials will be out in 5 years, and if successful, the vaccine rollout could begin in 2030. Zeki Kasim, VOA News, Johannesburg, South Africa.
Thanks for that story, Kasim. Back to our main topic. This evening we are talking about challenges faced by Zimbabweans who are injured at work in the diaspora. Some of them also die at work, leaving relatives struggling to cater for their families. Two Zimbabweans are believed to have died a few days ago in South Africa following the collapse of a building in Cape Town, which was being constructed by a private company. There are currently no estimated numbers of Zimbabweans who have died or sustained injuries at work in various nations. Relatives normally bear the cost of laying to rest those dying at work or end up forking out large sums of money for injured ones, especially when they don't have any health insurance. Now, let's take a brief break. Stay tuned.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
And to discuss our topic in depth, we welcome our guests, Ms. Beatrice Matutu of Zim Imbokoto and Mr. Nabuto Mapena, Chairperson of Zimbabwe Community in South Africa. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Greetings to you and to the listeners.
Thank you very much. So let's start with you, Ms. Matutu. Tell us a bit about what you have seen when a Zimbabwean dies or is injured at work in South Africa. Who actually pays the cost for laying to rest those who die and for taking care of the injured? Ms. Matutu? I think we've got a very bad line there. So let's actually have Mr. Mapena reacting to my question. So Mr. Mapena, go ahead. So we have seen a lot there that happens in South Africa. So tell us what you have seen and what actually takes care of the people that die at work and those that get injured in South Africa.
Well, in the most cases, they are assisted by their families. You'll recall that in the last discussion that we had here was that over the years, we've been encouraging people to establish burial societies, either as family members or people coming from the same village or at the workplace or in church. So quite a number of people have responded to the call of establishing burial societies. But of course, there are also many that are not members of burial societies. So those that are not members of burial societies find it difficult to be assisted when they encounter challenges. But the burial societies only cater for those that a person would have died, then they assist the family to bury the body. The burial societies do not cater for any of its members who is injured. Under normal circumstances, they should be assisted by government. In this case, migrants have always had challenges. For instance, if you're involved in a car accident, the road accident fund takes time to pay. Some people end up being robbed by lawyers. So it's quite a difficult thing to do, especially if you are not documented. But of course, some that are having proper documents, they've been able to take policies that in case they are injured, then their insurance companies do cover.
Yes, we have got a story that has been extensively covered in South Africa, you know, by the media. And they are quoting PA leader Gayton McKenzie as saying that the church building collapse victims should be deported. He was responding to a call for a Shona-speaking trauma counselor, and this is what he said, I quote, "They must go home and find help," end quote. What's your reaction to that? That's exactly what you're talking about.
We know that Gayton McKenzie is anti-migrants, is anti-Africans. He's a man that he supports Israel, what is doing in Gaza. So I'm not surprised by the comments that is making. But we welcome and thank a number of organizations that have responded to the disaster in George. There are those that are offering counseling. We have one of our committee members who's based in Cape Town who arrived this morning in George to assess the situation on what is happening. We are in touch with her in terms of getting the reports of what is happening. We hope to get a full report by tomorrow because she arrived in George this afternoon. So a number of organizations and churches are assisting in George. And of course, yes, indeed, some they will need to be assisted in terms of interpretation because there is language barrier. When you are offering counseling, you have the people of Zimbabwe of Shona speaking, you have the people of Malawi that speak Jewa, you have people from Mozambique that speak Portuguese. So we're grateful to those that are assisting. But of course, like I was saying, that with Gayton McKenzie, we're not surprised by his attitude because he is anti-African.
Right, thank you so much, and stay on the line. So we'll try to get hold of him. Apparently, we've got his number here so that we can react to some of these allegations. Let me take this opportunity to also inform you that we actually called the South African representatives to actually come in and tell us exactly what happens when somebody dies or somebody is injured at work. But we were not lucky, they were not responding to our calls. So now, sikuye kulangale ke umama uVictorious Matutu umgcini sihlalo wezimbokodo. Yes, siyakwamukela kuhlelo lethemba lokuthi kathe siyasizwa mama. Uyangizwa kuhle?
Ngiyakuzwa manje, ngiyakuzwa kahle. Salibonani.
Ye, kunjani khona ngapha? So sizwa kuthiwa ke abantu bayalimala emsebenzini kwele South Africa, abanye njalo bayabhubhela emsebenzini. Kubanjwa njani nxa khonokho sokwenzekele? Amankampani wona athini ngako khonokho? Ungasitshela ngesintu mama.
Ngiyajabula ukuthi ehleleni silo baba uMabhena, ngoba yonke lokhu ukulimala kwabantu abanye beshonela emsebenzini, begcine ekugcineni sigcine sesibona sokusiba imithwalo yezihlobo ukuthi babone ukuthi bayanekele olimeleyo kumbe bayamusa ezibhedlela kumbe osuke washona uyangcwatshwa ngendlela sesiba sezandleni zezihlobo labangani ekubeni umuntu elimalele enkampanini. Kuyabhekhi kuyekusimisele emuva ekuthini okunye okudala lokho yena leyo indaba yokuthi kuthathwa i-advantage ngathi ngamakhekha ikakhulu abantu ababuya angithi abantu ababuya eZimbabwe, ikakhulu ma ungela maphepha alungileyo akuhlala umsebenzi eSouth Africa, kunzima kakhulu ukuthi nxa usuthe walimalela emsebenzini uthole imfanelo kade zizatholwa ngulowo muntu onamaphepha. Ngingakutshela manje ngilenye ikhesi yomunye umama waseZimbabwe obesebenzela indaba yakhona iyaphuma emaphepheni impela, ngasuze ngilithi igama kodwa usebenzela umuntu omkhulu lapha eSouth Africa. Umama lo useduzane kwami kakhulu, idaba lakhona ngiyalandela. Ubesebenza ezindlini kwathiwa akathwale ihabhuli lekusakhiwa lapho, wadumiwile lapho walimala. Ekulimaleni kwakhe akathwalanga lutho, kwathiwa ukuthi akathise walathiswa njengensukwane ezilithwane, suka lapho waphelelwa ngumsebenzi. Kwezinto ezifana lezo zibuyela ziyeqisa futhi ekutheni sithathele i-advantage ngoba singelazi imvume zokuhlala sisebenze eSouth Africa. Umkhashi usuka abone ngathi hhayi angeke kulandeleleke kangako ngoba lo muntu akala maphepha. Kukanti-ke abantu kumele sikwazi ukuthi noma singelawo amaphepha kodwa kukhona amanye amalungelo esilawo, njengakhona lokho ukuthi ma ulimalele emsebenzini uvuma umuntu esuke washela emsebenzini, umqashi kumele ayenze okufanelekileyo kungakhathaleki ukuthi ngamaphepha kumbe kawulawo.
Ye, siyakuzwa kakhulu. Now, Mr. Mvena, I think you heard Mr. Matutu touching the very most sensitive issue of documents. You know, it's like when you don't have any documents, you are in trouble. If you get injured, normally that's, you know, too much of a burden to the families. If you die, that's the worst scenario. So, in fact, how serious is this issue when it comes to Zimbabweans? Having no documents, they get injured, or they die at work?
They do not get assistance. The families do not get assistance because workers that do not have documents are not registered, so their families cannot access the benefits. We also have workers that are holders of Zimbabwe exemption permits. If they are ill, they go to any public hospital. They are supposed to pay upfront. I have a friend of mine who's on ZEP. He went to Johannesburg Hospital for treatment, was asked to pay upfront 5,000 rands. I know of a family. The wife has been in hospital, is on ZEP. He was supposed to undergo the operation, was also asked to fork out 30,000. So even if you are on ZEP, we've seen cases where people are forced to pay upfront. If you do not have money, you are not treated. So we did.
Oh, there, I think we have lost Mr. Mamutu Mabhena, and we're hoping that we are going to be joined by Mr. Njozi Mutandiri of the Southern African Liaison Office. So his number is giving us a bit of a problem. So now, back to you, Mama Matutu. So, Zwile Lapake Mabhena said, I have a slope into the documents. What are you? Litibana Nakuranga Nan, Gonga Konoko, Woman Paper, what you want to clean up? Usehlupheka kakhulu ngokuthi kala maphepha ukulimele into ezinjalo. Siyakhumbula njalo kulomnye ubaba ohlala eBotswana wakonxiba wadutshula izandla wakunyuzandla kwa namba wae tujuleze msebenzini kutu mkati kama mnigili uto kuzo kubela mtanji uba bakasteni nisi kukini imoli yake lezi mtuwezi njalo so kutuba anga nani mkono kunga ungeza gala kuna umbo longo
njewa sende ngacho ukuthi vele yonke lento isuka iyeqala phansi endabeni yamaphepha ikakhulu nalobo baba ngayikhuluma ngobaba wasebutswana owadubule izandla esemsebenzini ukuthi wayengosizalwane sasebutswana mkhula ezokuthola umkashi wayezomkhokhela mhlawumbe le muli yakhe ngale imkashi lokhu esayibhekelela njengalamanje kodwa ngenxa yokuthi wayengasosizalwane sasebutswana noma amaphepha noma engelawo khona lokho ukuthi asosizalwane sakulelo lizwe kwenza ukuthi kube nzima kwenzeka lakhona lapho eSouth Africa sihlangana lakho kakhulu ukuthi loba umuntu usulibalele emsebenzini usekumele ukuthi uye esibhedlela umkashi ngokomthetho kumele ukuthi abe nguye okhokhela izindleko ngokulimalela emsebenzini nxa kulezi ndleko zasesibhedlela kumele umkashi azikhokhele iy'ndleko zasesibhedlela kodwa abaqashi bathatha kona lokhu ukuthi thina ngoba iningi lethu hhayi laba abantu ngabantu bokufika lapha kuzela izalwane ze-South Africa kusuka bengakuthathi ngeseriyasi ilungelo lethu lingasasebenzi njengabantu yebo singabe singabantu bokufika kodwa phela amalungelo phila lathi akukho umuntu engelalungelo emhlabeni wonke umuntu ophila unelungelo lalapha noma silapha ma umuntu kade ngimsebenzela sengilimalele kuye kumele ukuthi ngibe lungelo lami njengalo muntu ovele ngowalapha ngoba bengimsebenza ngimsebenza njalo esihlazi ukuthi angilawo lawo maphepha kungani ma sengilimele ebe sethatha i-advantage kumele ukuthi abe njebe sazikhanyela amaphepha ma sengilimele angenzele imfanelo zakhona njengendlela yomuntu okade ezakwenzela lowo onjani olamaphepha njalo futhi okunye asithi abantu ngabo umuntu esuke washona njengoba kathe silathi sile sidle emhlekele futhi sabona inhlekelelo kuyenzeka lapha e-Johannesburg sisho ibhilidi lapha nawo kulale yase George yizinto ezihambelanayo abantu abanjalo ma sebeshinjibelele ake sithi lapha uhulumende we-South Africa uzathi abantu laba abangama-South Africans abalapha abashona lapha uhulumende umngcwabo wakhona uzophathwa nguhulumende labo abangasibo ukuba lapha eSouth Africa owakumngcwabo uhulumende usuke ngawo engayeke awuthathe athi uzowathwala aye bangcwabo emazweni abo kugcina sekuyimthwalo wakho wezihlobo zabangani ukuthi bahlanganise izimali zokuthi bathwale labo abayihlelwe yinhlekelele baye bangcwaba emakhaya kukanti-ke kumele ukuthi nxa kuyukuthi bahlelwe yinhlekelele bonke abathathwe ngolulinganayo loba bengabakuphi nxa kuyukuthi uhulumente ukuthi abehlelele yinhlekelele esigamekweni esinje uyabangcwaba abangcwatshwe bonke kungathiki ukuthi ungcwatshwe abendaweni nje abendaweni nje abangcwatshwe ngoba bengasibo balapha.
Yes, siyakuzwa kakhulu ubambe khonapho ungayeka channel. Let's see what people are saying in our social media platforms. So we've got many of them that sent us messages. And one of them is Temba Manyate Manyela, who says, mina ngalimala ngatshaya umnyango wetekisi ngaqhamuka ngo-2009 ngaqhamuka umhlathi manje-ke kangizange ngithole uncedo lokho engihlupheka kwamagama. Kuzobuya ke umaphethi moyo ukuthi ludubo olumangalisayo lolu esibhekane lalo. Kuzobuya njalo loqiniso ukuthi hayi kakhulu kulabo ababhubhayo uthole ukuthi bebengalabo ama-barrier society, umuntu usetshona gijigijima edinga imali kodwa kusehlula kuhlala kunjalo uyakhuluma khonapho-ke. Kuzobuya ke umpumelelo Sibanda la uyaloba lapho ukuthi usiza ngani khonokho. Ngithi thina esisemazweni kuyahlupha kakhulu khona ukuthi sikhulume ngakho ngoba kuyasikhathaza kakhulu. So uthi kuyamhlupha kakhulu lubaba. So ke siye size, I'm told that Ngabuthi Maphela is back now on the line. So Mr. Maphela, you were trying to explain there and then your phone got cut off. But the thing is, we still remember there is a very big case in Botswana where there was one employee who has shorted work and had injuries. He sustained very severe injuries on his limbs. And the limbs were cut off. Up to now, he can't even work for himself. So his surname is Mr. Ngobe, I know. He comes from much north. So in such cases, Mr. Maphela, what should be done?
Well, what we have always said is that workers of migrant origin have a right to join a trade union, even if they are not documented. because a union then can assist if a worker is injured at the workplace. We've seen this with the farm workers. When they get injured, they are not being assisted, like Usismatu has already said, in terms of documentation. So we've been talking to COSATU that they should establish a migrant desk in every union. That, of course, has not happened because, of course, there are tensions between local workers and those of migrant communities. But it is important that workers must unite, workers must join trade unions so that when they are ill, when they are injured at the workplace, they are compensated.
Yeah, so, but the employers normally say, you know, you got injured, you know, and that's it, and you don't have any papers. So that becomes a problem, right?
It's because the worker is not registered. It was like in the case of what happened in Cape Town, the building that collapsed, and we assume that the workers that were affected were not registered. So if you are working, you are not registered, an employer can do whatever they want. Because again, they are scared, the employers, they will employ undocumented people. They know that in terms of the South African law, it is illegal. So when they are caught having employed a person who is not documented, they face penalties. So, and they also know that because they are not documented, you cannot go to CCMA, you cannot go to labor court, you cannot sue them, because the first thing that will be required is your own document, your status in South Africa. So that is the biggest challenge. But those that are members of the trade unions have been assisted through their trade unions, because the employer will employ you fully aware that you are not documented, but they have no right then to turn around when you are injured to say you are not documented, because when they employed you in the first place, they knew that you do not have documents.
Mm-hmm. Then still on these injuries and some deaths and so forth, give us an update of what is happening at that collapsed building. How many Zimbabweans now are said to be, you know, having these problems, or maybe they've died, or maybe they were injured, and so forth?
We do not have the exact numbers. We just received a brief report from our colleague who just arrived this afternoon that four Zimbabweans died. So I yet to confirm, he has not yet verified the number of Zimbabweans that are injured. But what we know, according to news that we are getting, that 32 people have died. We have Zimbabweans, Malawians, Mozambicans. I'm not sure about South Africans. We do not know how many are injured. And we do not know how many at this stage are still missing, because we heard that others are still missing. And the difficulty, of course, because is that we do not inform our employers or the colleagues that we live with in terms of the details of our family members. So if you then find yourself in this situation, it becomes difficult to trace the family.
So what happens next, you know, if you don't trace the family and stuff like that?
When we await what the consulate in Cape Town will do, because the officials of the from the Zimbabwe consulate in Cape Town are on the ground. We saw the Minister of Labour, Tulas Nglesi, visiting the site. We also saw Minister Zikalala visiting the site. So we're hoping that tomorrow, because we are represented there, we'll be able to know what is happening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mapena. That is Mr. Mnaoto Mapena, chairperson of the Zimbabwe Committee in South Africa. We also had Ms. Matutu, Victor Matutu of Zim Imbowoto. We've come to the end of our show today. Thanks for all those that were listening, and our guests too. Let's meet again tomorrow at 8 p.m. Signing off from Washington, this is Kip Stube. Good night.